everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. My name is Peggy Ployer, and I am the founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, as well as the regular host of this broadcast that happens every Tuesday, Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We have had a good kickoff to this month. We're focusing on mental health because May happens to be Mental Health Month. And we really wanted to create some resources for you as parents and parent educators on how do you help your children navigate some of these really tough places, these valleys of life. And a lot of resources are out there from various public schools and other things, but we don't talk about it in the homeschooling realm. I think sometimes we don't think it happens in the homeschooling realm, but guess what? Two of my children out of the three have struggled in this area, as well as I have too personally. And so I want to tell you that we are not this is something our community deals with as well. And so we want to bring that spotlight on that and help you with navigating mental health issues. And I've got a wonderful guest to share with you today as we talk about using creativity and self-expression to improve a student's mental health. I want to welcome you, Jennifer. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, I am so excited because oftentimes when we focus on mental health, we want to focus on everything that's going wrong. And I think this twist that you're going to bring to us today is that there's beauty and there is ways to find out more about ourselves, about our children when we go through these tough spots. And I can't wait to start this conversation because it's so much needs to be done. And if you're joining us, we would love for you to be part of this conversation. So we have viewers popping on. I see the numbers increasing there. So if you're watching on YouTube, just know that you can put comments or questions in the feed. We'd love to know where you're watching from. If there's any questions specifically that you have for Jennifer that you would like addressed during this hour, definitely put those in too. And if you're watching on Facebook, on our Facebook page, you can do the same thing. Just know if you're watching in the Facebook group, the support group, that you need to give permission to StreamYard, who is our broadcasting platform, to be able to post those publicly because it is a private group. And if you're watching on the Empowered Homeschool Network, just know that you have to click into YouTube in order to make comments. If you make comments in the Empowered Homeschool Network, then we will only see them after the show. So we want to make sure that we get your questions answered while we're here. So I think that's all the book or the just housekeeping stuff that I need to do. And So Jennifer, let's kind of kick off this time with just helping my viewers get to know a little bit about you. And I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself, your background in the mental health community, and just how you've used your professional training. I know you're going to talk a little bit about that and your personal interests as well to help individuals navigate mental health challenges.
I'm so happy to be here. So I've been an OT, occupational therapist, about 22 years now. Mm-hmm. And my first job out of school was working for New York State Psychiatric Institute, where with chronic adults, schizophrenic, bipolar. Mm-hmm. And before that, I wanted to share an experience that... when I was a level two student, so this is before I was even practicing, I'd bring mm-hmm. a guitar with me, bring a guitar wherever I went. And I played in a detox unit for adults who had, who had been in there to try to get over drug use and things like that.
Right.
And it was not in a good neighborhood. So I brought my guitar and I played for the patients. And my supervisor at the time she was okay with it. They were flexible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the patients were like, why would you play for us? Mm. They didn't. And that just, and then as someone had given me like a card, said like, this move might change my life. Hmm. Just the fact of someone giving in a creative way, wanting to give to them where they didn't even feel like they were worthy of it. Hmm. And from then on, almost every site, anywhere I've ever worked, I've always brought instruments with me to play, to either teach how to play or just to sing and create together. And, it's been really amazing working with children with autism who are nonverbal, then able to speak at the end of the school year. I mean, literally, and you know, and, currently being a homeschool mom, I'm really grateful to present this to this community because of always being able to share this with establishments, but this, like, it's so needed. And the other thing that comes to mind is that I'm currently on a AOTA, American Association of Occupational Therapy. They have a mental health school task force because this is years ago, one out of five children was found to have mental health issues. And this is nationwide in the school system. And you know, the homeschool community also, this is just as relevant, really important. And, you know, and we might not have all the resources that the schools do. And so it's, I'm really happy to be able to share whatever I can for this community. And if anyone has any questions, please feel free. I will do my best. You know, I'm going through my own like challenges like everyone else and just trying to navigate it. And, you know, when it comes to using creative expression, I work currently at a psychiatric institute. I work on an inpatient unit with a lot of young adults right now who have depression, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and we use music a lot in addition to other things, but, you know, songwriting together, teaching an instrument. A lot of times they have learning disabilities. So being able to navigate that disability to still teach in a way that works for them has been wonderful cognitively as well as like just self-esteem. So that's something I've been really amazed to, I've been doing that for about 22 years now, running these kind of groups. And it's gone to just drumming to music, to full-fledged concerts, to songwriting. And currently on the unit where I'm specifically at 2 days a week at the psychiatric unit, we have songwriting groups. And and I'll tell you, it's just it's really humbling. And just of note, you know, when working with patients who have schizophrenia, like really acutely sick, when we have our concerts, they are focused the whole time. So music is extremely grounding and powerful when it comes to a lot of sensory ways of integrating and learning and socially. So there's a lot of stories that can be shared. And the other thing that recently happened, this is due to the pandemic, I had to change sites. So I ended up working in a school specifically for children who could not be in school, like a general regular school, because of mental health issues. And I was there for a short time and not like kind of doing unconventional OT, like specifically using music and creativity. And we had some children who really behavioral, like very difficult. I really had not, besides being aggressive, you know, very, very can't sit still, very unruly. Like I was, it was even hard for me to be around them. It was so difficult, but I, having them learn guitar, I'm amazed. They were so into it and they were just like, just like kind of humbled and happy. And their strengths came out that they could attain, because when a child has a learning disability, sometimes they just don't want to do anything.
Because yeah, they just, they shut down.
And finding what works that is, that they love, can open up so many doors also for them, and like almost like shine their light when they're so used to so much dark. So I keep in mind this one child who was just, you know, he was about to basically go on medication and be hospitalized. But this boy was focusing with me for 40 minutes learning a guitar.
Wow.
You know, so I think learning on, like, trying to understand what sets him off, mm-hmm. and then also how to handle it. And right. so this was a beautiful situation. And also, you know, within my own, you know, personal challenges, you know, when it comes to having a child who's had special needs, and it's so I feel it's not black or white, it's gray, you know, whether you have a child on the spectrum or you have a child who's, I would say everyone needs to work through mental health issues. I wouldn't say, you know, it's so much, it's huge, especially now. And a big part of also what's really kind of opened my eyes is learning more, a bit of very, very deep inner work, like looking at the way we see things and exploring things like Vedanta and like very like sacred teachings about how we think about life and view the way we are, you know, because we like, if I'm playing an instrument, I tune the instrument. You know, we as humans have to tune ourselves to be optimal.
Yes.
And so that's kind of like the metaphor of being a parent, being an educator, and we model that for our children, which is needed now more than ever.
Yes, yes, because I think our society has proven the way that it's going, it develops mental health issues even more so, because the numbers just keep getting worse and worse. It's back to those basic, simple practices that we forget that are so necessary in our lives, those rhythms. And like you said, modeling that, I love that. And, yes, I'm sure you have many examples and many stories to share. I just love that you had the boldness to walk in with your guitar and say, let's try this. And you know, it, those things that excite us. And if you have this creative bent, and I think we all do, some of us are just more tuned into it like you are. But to share that with others and to say, well, why don't you try and see what it brings out. 'Cause it sounds like it's really been a blessing to your students that you've done that. So that's super. So just know if you're watching, that you can, send questions in, via the post, that you're watching on or the feed. But we've got some questions here too. So I'm going to just ask mine away, and feel free to interrupt us. But Jennifer, as we're kind of getting started here, are there factors that parents should know about when it comes to mental health dynamics in specific individuals, like age groups, family situations, or maybe even other factors that we may not even consider right away as mental health, maybe warnings or just those red flags? If we've never been exposed to them, sometimes it seems like it's nothing, you know, we just dismiss it.
Right. Well, I think one thing very much is learning to trust our intuition. That's kind of been a key for, so for me, I guess in different ways, like as a mom, when something's not right, I have to go with my gut. And because if you have a very little one, they might not be able to say. And then the other thing that I just wanted to make sure I share before, besides technical stuff, is that I've had been really graced with some very special teachers that if it wasn't for them, I really wouldn't have so much of an insight, because they shared that with me. So I think being open to really like look inside, like if I'm open to looking inside me, I'm going to want to learn. And I think that comes first. If I didn't have that and these people, I wouldn't be able to be here today to share what I know, whether it be at the hospital or with you now.
So that's good. Yeah.
So that's one. And then, you know, when it comes to certain age groups, you know, can you hear me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to certain age groups, I would say, like children, for example, when we don't have enough sleep, we don't have enough nutrition, you know, those are certain foundational things for the brain, right? Mm-hmm. So sleeping through the night, you know, we want to look at like neurotransmitters, for example, like what are the base, right, the building blocks of that, you know, having structure to the day, is the parent able to handle and cope? And can they actually say, oh, I'm feeling overwhelmed, let's do this, or let's take a break. Like, how do we model that instead of like, and it's a constant practice on how we treat ourselves, how we treat others. Because it's not always going to be perfect. So young ones, it's important to have like that sense of safety, that sense of structure.
Right.
And sometimes, especially in the homeschool community, we like, you know, schools are structured. That's the way they're set up.
Right.
You know, the question is, how do we structure it in a way?
That's a very good question.
That it works, and there's predictability. And so keeping that as like a foundation, and as they get older, like, you know, family situations too, whether it be a single mom, you know, having things at least with consistency, that's great. What if there's multicultural families and people do things different ways? You know, how do we put the person first? How do we say, this is making me really upset, you know, but how do we, you know, how does this work for you and for me? Like making it so, and because the child is always going to be exposed to these things.
They're normal things that we would navigate in life. And like you talked about modeling, how we model, how we navigate these things is what our kids are going to copy. So that's a really good point.
Yeah. And, you know, it starts with children, you know, being young, and kids from 2 to 4. I mean, that's a critical time. They're learning so much. And then as children get older and then they get into their teen years, when we talk about mental health and we want to be technical about it, when people see their first break, like psychotic break or bipolar, that's usually when they're in their upper teens, you know, so that would be their first break. But there are definitely signs that we want to look out for. And I'll show you a little bit of a story. Like, I wouldn't say a story, but on the unit where I work, where we have, I'm in New York currently, and we have a whole bunch of young adults who have had visual motor issues, meaning they can't really read well. They have challenges when it comes to visual focus, and then they're not as successful academically as they want to be. And it's not addressed. They're not getting the therapy that they need. And it's kind of pushed aside. And when we want it, when it comes to mental health, you address it before it starts being really a problem. So that's the right time to be a support before the end of. So maybe the age to address it is the younger the better. As they're older, then we want to really educate ourselves what to look out for. And I think addressing the strengths, what you said, Peggy, is so important. You know, how do we integrate that and make it so that we can get through these tough times and have deep, deep values? I think that's so important, you know. I'm still learning, like delving into the teachings of Vedanta and learning really deeply about like going inside instead of just like looking at a video or doing that, because so many things are now on the screen. Like, what's here? This is where much of the answers are, you know, and how do we model that as parents in this world, in this society, that's the opposite. So yeah, like teaching things like meditation and deep breathing, modeling it, like I say. And on the unit where we do yoga as well, which is really helpful for them to tune into their breath. We could be a little scientific about it. You know, breath is directly related to mental health. Hugely, hugely. When you focus on the breath, you can calm the brain waves. You know, you can sleep better, you digest better. You have the space to process instead of just react. Mm-hmm. So we try to teach that very much as a coping skill where we are on the unit. Mm-hmm. And for my own self too, it's a constant practice.
Right.
And I personally find, you know, and the patients that we experience with too, they really respond to music because of the emotional memory that music has.
Yes,
it triggers the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oliver Sacks wrote a wonderful book called Musicophilia that I like to refer to that even with children with autism, who are severely autistic, nonverbal, very, very, very affected, I've seen them speak by singing first. And I'm not talking about one or two. I'm talking about several that we've used live instruments and a microphone. Wow. And it's been pretty, I mean, I've had multiple kids who were not talking before and they were talking at the end of a 12-month school year. So it's possible.
Right.
And so I think when you mention hope, I mean, there are ways to address it, just like even with visual motor skills, you know, these things can be addressed, but the biggest part is identifying it and knowing, oh, that's why you're pushing it off the table. Hey, oh, okay. Let's try it this way. You know, cause it's not like you're not stupid. You're not bad.
Right.
We got to work on your vision and that's okay. We do it together. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard for me too.
Right.
So we do that a lot. And so I think in the teenage, so the school age range is more looking at visual motor skills, looking at why it's hard, you know.
Yeah, I heard once that, you know, if you can teach a child that, because I guess at that grade school level, they see when they struggle as the issue outside themselves. But when they go through that puberty phase, they internalize all of their issues and then they say it's a problem with me. So like you said, if we can get to those struggles ahead of time and say, well, this is just something that, you know, that we can work on. Not that this is something bad about you. You know, I never made the connection with mental health until you brought that up. And it is such a beautiful way of looking at that you definitely have to work on remediation with younger kids, because if not, they will internalize it and say, it's all about me. And now it becomes a mental health issue instead of just a learning issue. And I've seen that with undiagnosed adults too. A lot of the parents that I work with actually, who have kids that struggle, said that when they got a diagnosis, and same with myself, when my son was diagnosed on the autism spectrum, and I realized that was me, what a relief that was, you know? Wow. And so it is good to be able to do that. And it is all about communication. I love that you talked about that. And kind of diving into that. And I know music and art and all of these things are so much about communication. Can you talk a little bit about that? That connection of how we can really connect. I mean, you talked about helping kids on the autism spectrum be able to talk through this creative expression. And just what is that connection that happens and why? Because I think as a parent, I felt like music was just one of those things, you know, that, and maybe a lot of us do, because we have all these other things we want to teach our kids. We don't realize how critical that is, especially when we have a child that struggles with communication. So can you talk on that a little bit?
Sure. Usually when I do my lecture, usually for the some students at a university about this. And the first exercise that I always have them do is I have them close their eyes and them visualize themselves in the body of a child with autism. You know, the sounds around me, the smells, people telling me what to do, but I haven't used the bathroom in 3 days and it hurts my ears because people are talking too loud. And, you know, I have like my mom's mad at me and I'm angry because, you know, I spilled all the milk and I just threw things today because I was just mad because I almost started feeling good. Plus, you know, every time I'm in a new space, I feel like I might fall. I don't like movement very much. I don't like bright lights. And then now you're telling me now what to do. I don't want to do that. My tummy hurts, but I can't tell you because I don't have words right now, but I can throw things. See, I'm hungry. I can't really tell you that either. I try to put myself into the shoes of the person and right.
That's powerful.
And use the reason, you know, going inside lets me do that to try to understand my own intuition and use my gut. And then I can connect with this person. So, you know, I'll tell you a story. There was this boy, Johnny, I used to work with, and, you know, he'd be on the floor tantruming, like didn't want to do anything, didn't want to go to the OT, nothing. So I was like, well, what are we going to do? Okay. But this is after years of going through this process of learning, which took lots of tears and a lot of, and I'm still learning. But so what happened was he loved video games. Okay. He loved looking at video games colors. I sat with him and that's what we did. We just looked at the video game covers together. And then we did it, you know, take my finger pointing to stuff. He liked that. So we did it. And then he would go with me and then we would do our OT. Then we would go back. And there was a boy, Chris, that I worked with for many years, very, very severely autistic. And so we would take the vibrating brain, put it near his ear. Right. The vibration, the vestibular system, the inner ear, that's very, very much associated to sound, but also to balance and position in space. So anyway, he would keep doing this, you know, and then we ended up integrating music into the session. He liked to play the piano. I'd let him play the piano. He would just do his thing. I'd use one word cues. And then I worked with him for about 5 years. He ended up speaking. I was the only entire person he would speak with, but I was entering into his world. Why would I want to connect with you if you're not connecting with me? So that's what made that, that connection first. And then academically we could do stuff. You know, we did technical OT stuff like vestibular input, bouncing on a ball. And then combination of bouncing on a ball and using sound and music. I'm a very firm believer when you integrate music and vestibular input, meaning movement and space, that really will strengthen speech. I've seen it many times. Using live instruments is even better because that's what worked for him. We used a piano and we used a guitar, we'd strum. I have multiple kids that worked with. But the connection was there, and we did it together. So when it comes to like self-expression, you know, to not just have our own expectations, how we want it to be.
That's a very good point.
Letting it come out from them first. And it's a balance. It's a huge balance. So I think tuning in, and there's another girl I used to work with who was really aggressive. She was a person you did not want to be with. She was 13 years old and she was like severely autistic and bipolar to the point where mom was driving and she put her hands over mom's eyes while she's driving. Very dangerous. Mom also had bipolar disorder. And so she had her own struggles. And unfortunately, you know, this is in a school system. I didn't connect with mom. Mom wasn't available. And us as a homeschool community, we have so much that we can give to our kids. Yes. You know, they need us. They need us to be at our best. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it makes me want to cry because I relate to it. And I know our world needs, our kids, next generation needs that. Mm-hmm. So thinking about what worked for this girl, we'd have her on the I'd have her on the swing and mm-hmm. sing to her. And my 150 billion percent attention was with that girl every minute of every second I was with her. And as you know, I know as homeschooling parents, sometimes we are so divided having to get chores done and get this done and that kid. And then the kids sometimes really need our 100%. So how can we structure the day? So, okay, well, you know what? We're going to do 30 minutes of just me and you, and that is it. And then we're going to do dinner and just dinner. We do it together. Hey, I'm going to show you. They don't want to do it, but hey, this is what I'm doing. But so keeping that connection really strong.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I'm saying so much of it boils down to being 100% billion focused and present in the moment. And it's harder and harder and harder now more than ever.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause we've got our phones beeping at us and we've got, you know, so many things going on, that are begging for our attention and to put those boundaries. And I love that because we have to make that time. Cause if you don't establish that, it's back to those rhythms, those natural things like you were talking about at the beginning. We have to set up that structure too. And that's where our kids find safety. But they also know that you're going to be there to listen when they do have the ability to communicate or they want to communicate. It may not be the way you want them to communicate, like the many examples you shared, Jennifer, but for some of our kids, that's the first step to more effective communication. But we have to be willing to take those steps with them. And I love how music and you've learned how that creative expression can really move into those spaces where we sometimes as parents get frustrated and go, what am I doing? And you know, what is this child thinking? And how do we get into their world? And yeah. And it is it does take time.
You know, and the beautiful choice is being able to, I guess, simplify, you know, and I'm just saying this because I've really been grateful to the people who have helped me learn, you know, whether it be my family, you know, different friends of mine, my friend Charles Lurie, he was always like, you'd see this and he'd pound in me and I didn't really get it until now. I'm a bit older. And my teacher is also, my guru. So these are like, sometimes it takes external reminders, but it's a combination of being able to look inside and also get the reminders. So what I'm basically trying to say is that like it's easy to get distracted because this is the way life is, but one of the best gifts we can give to our kids is us.
You know, I love that. Yes, it is very true. Yeah. It's what's most, and you know, you can look at even kids that are mistreated by their parents. They want to please them so bad and they want that relationship more than anything, even though it's dysfunctional. That parent-child relationship is so integral and we take it for granted a lot when our kids are with us all the time. So I love that you point that out. You know, do you have any ideas for our parents and, you know, talking about let's spend some more time together on creative ways that they could or ways that they could use creative outlets to help children maybe that are dealing with anxiety or communication issues or other things, you know, even some self-doubt. You know, we hear that self-talk, especially when our kids are younger. That was one thing I really liked when my boys were depressed when they were younger, because I would hear everything that they were processing. It was just out loud. But how do we interject those creative outlets to help our kids through these low points, these valleys?
Well, music, I find music is very, very, very healing, and it's a very safe way to express ourselves. Mm. You know, some journaling can be really nice. And as parents, like, you know, I've often, when I'm on the unit with the young adults, we write songs together. There's no judgment on it. And, you know, an activity that parents can do, write songs with your kids. You know, you can use regular melodies, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, things like that. Or you can, you know, just like welcome the space to do that. Or, you know, if I'm feeling like really angry, maybe I'll like dance through it. But, but I found really this, when it comes to mental health, creativity and mental health are so linked. You know, the hospital where I work, 2 days a week, and one of the people who were hospitalized there many, many, many years ago was a famous music composer, and he donated his piano there. It's a huge grand concert piano. He's written some of his best work there. So navigating mental health challenges is really it's a beautiful outlet to put it into something creative, and saying, you know, we're going through all these feelings. Let's get them out. It's not just for you. It could be for other people. You can just share it, you know, and then like really listening, like, wow, that's incredible. And just supporting that process. And, you know, I'm just saying from like multiple, you know, there's an autistic girl that we work with right now. She just loves to play and doesn't have to be technical, like she just loves to play. Cognitively, her intellectual, you know, she's a little bit on the lower side. Doesn't have to be perfect. You know, we think we have to be perfect. The beauty's in the mistakes of music. The beauty's in the learning. And the act of learning an instrument, if we wanted to welcome children to learn the instrument when they're younger, it's very grounding when it comes to mental health. We have to focus. We have, if we can't learn an instrument, ideally ways to find out why, and then help with that. You know, I'd love to be a resource to help with like writing music and understanding like why, if we can't learn through, and I'll say this too. I really feel like I want to say this. The school where the children were, where they got a music therapist, they had a music teacher that didn't work. Why didn't it work? They needed to just play. They needed to jam. They just need to express. It didn't have to be learning a C major scale if you can't learn yet because you have learning challenges. But just play and make. And then when they can, then you can. Well, then of course.
That's great advice.
Well, like just even if you haven't, letting them strum their feelings, like let them be where they're at. That's what was really connecting with those kids. Not pushing it, you know? And when it got too hard, all right, I push back. And this is the other thing that I will say when it comes.
Oops, lost Jennifer for a second. I'm sure she'll be back. So if you do have questions and you're watching, make sure that you put them up in the feed and wherever you're watching, YouTube or Facebook. And thank you for holding on. I think Jennifer will be back in a second. I'm just going to interject here a little bit. You know, we're talking about using creativity and creative expression when dealing with mental health issues. And I think Jennifer has shared so many wonderful things. Just kind of a recap, she's been talking about communication and a lot of things when it comes to mental health. I think we forget that. Oops, she completely dropped. Okay, hopefully she'll be back. But we forget that when you're in a mental health crisis, and I know because I lived with depression for a long time, had suicidal thoughts from about fourth grade on through my my young adult life, actually through the birth of my two kids. I don't often share a lot of that story, but you cycle lies in your brain. And it's a lot of self-talk, a lot of self-talk that is not good. And what Jennifer has been talking about with us is that getting those things out. When you see them on paper, when you write them down, then you start processing outside yourself. You allow other people, maybe when it feels safe, to look into those thoughts and those feelings. And sometimes they're completely validated. And sometimes you realize, why was I thinking this? And why did I spend so much time on it? But again, when I was talking with Jennifer ahead of the broadcast too, I was sharing with her that, you know, to have our kids sit down, write in a journal or to write poetry, can be very, difficult. It can seem like a very daunting task, but when you say, well, why don't you just, you know, use this melody, let's do, you know, a song that we all know, and you change the words to how you're feeling. Well, that doesn't seem as difficult, does it? And a child will say, oh yeah, okay. And they do that all the time. That's that play thing that, that is integrated into that. So anyways, just some great suggestions, that Jennifer had to share with us. So I'm hoping she pops back on. If not, I might talk for a while. I would love if you have any questions or comments to send them my way. I had not planned ahead of time on presenting the last 15 minutes here. But I do want to let you know, some news that, we've been sharing. We're doing a family camp, and talk about needing, maybe a mental health break for all of your family. When things get crazy, I know what it's like. You think, I can't even do a family vacation because, especially as mom, I'm always working. I have to do the dishes. I have to make the food. It's not a vacation for me. Well, guess what? If you come to Minnesota, Southern Minnesota, this summer, and join me, Steve Demme, and some other amazing people that have been volunteering with me on this retreat committee, we are going to do a family retreat that we're partnering with the Ministry of Johnny and Friends. And we want to give you a week of respite to have a buddy for each of your children and to have fun with help and not to make any food, to be able to do things that maybe you've never done with your kids, like go horseback riding or let's see, shoot slingshots, BB guns. We're going to do a lot of fun things at camp, do the zip lines. And there's this thing that's like a really super big slip and slide down a hill. We'll have to see if I try that one. But anyways, we're going to have a lot of fun and create a lot of connections with community. And I hope that that you can join us for that. Looks like Jennifer is back. I'm going to add her on here. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi.
It's good to have you back.
It's a good metaphor. I wanted to share something that I just realized a big part of what I need to say is staying connected with the source.
Yes.
You know, it's really important. So that's kind of like what just happened. That there's a technical issue, but that's really huge. Like we think it's really small sometimes. And what I really love about this show is that we're going through so much together and navigating this and connecting to the source of within us, but also something bigger than us and to help us push through that. And, and if we could teach that to our kids, I think then they could teach that to their kids, like to keep that going, because it really, it's passed down from parent to child. These are things we're not going to otherwise learn, you know, and it's through values. It's through connections like this. And these are really wonderful resources to for people to learn, you know?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're back. We have a question from a viewer on Facebook, if you're willing.
Sure.
Kim asked, I wonder if studying a little bit of blues music would be good as a tool, and then singing along with your own words.
If whatever they really feel drawn to, you know, I have a very good friend who's a music teacher. She's a violin teacher. She's wonderful. And her kids are doing really well. And classical music, in my opinion, is really important. And there's different, you know, certain brain waves are affected by classical music. And also being around a lot of like teenage kids, everything's like TikTok, everything's fast paced, everything. Right. So blues, you know, if it's like a slow groove, like on the beat, that's really good for almost like a heartbeat, very rhythmical. Oh, yeah. That could be very grounding. So learning things could be like jazz or very like that fast paced stuff, like that a lot of the teens are listening to that's out there now. That makes us think very quick. But things like classical music and things with like a slower, steady rhythm, it's very grounding to our nervous system. So the kind of music we listen to is also very important. You know, like listening to classical music in the home can be really helpful. You know,
we're going to start a new trend here.
it really makes a difference because there's some, you know, there's some, so some things I've learned, like literally will affect our brain waves. Like if we have very, very rapid brain waves, like sleep, for example, is critical when it comes to mental health. Sleep and nutrition are the foundation building blocks. So if I'm constantly around this fast pace, that's going to affect my brain waves. So keeping it in a more slow, calm rhythm, in addition to exercise, which is really helpful,
right?
These are the things that are really important for mental health. I find yoga to be really good because you breathe along with movement. It's very regulating. So that really, it can be very effective. And in my home, I try to play classical music. And also, I find that it really like strikes the heart, but we hear things in different ways. And we've gotten away as a culture from the more intricate music, from the more Stevie Wonder, Carole King, classical. Everything's like this very monotonous. So like expanding that vocabulary, I think, can be really beautiful. And we want that for generations to come. And so that's, I think the quality of the music we listen to is important. And if your child loves the blues, awesome. Go for it. You know, if they love it, excellent. You know, I support you 100%. And then if they want to learn more, if they want to take lessons, excellent. You know, so I think that's wonderful. If that's what that's therapeutic use of self. You know, if that's really like being 100% supported in that way, in my opinion, you know, we try to work with whatever, like if they're open and say creative, this is what I want to do, nourish it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think probably the question was started in thinking that blues music is emotional, but I think the majority of music is emotional. We just have to kind of temper the emotions that come out of some music and, you know, pick and choose, like you were talking about, some that would bring out the more lovely emotions instead of, and it is good to focus on, you know, those deep struggles and feelings and connect with those too, but you don't want to stay there. I know when, you know, you deal with mental health issues, staying in that too long, might not be good either.
Right.
Have you found a way to kind of help students or people that you work with to kind of move towards those emotions that would be more healthy versus kind of where they're stuck?
Sure. Well, that's where I find the teaching of, personally for me, the teachings of yoga very important. And letting go, acceptance, and then still moving through it. And that has been really, it's a life practice, right? One thing I wanted to say before I get into that is that exploring different kinds of musics is an idea. Like, hey, this is let's listen to a few kinds and see what you like. Because if we don't know, like, what worked for me in that school was I tended to play more classical stuff because everybody was listening to hip hop.
Okay.
and I just wanted them to be exposed. And then my hope is that they would like it. And actually it's been shown that that really does help a lot with the way we process things. And so how to stay in the joy, like, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that because like, that's currently my practice too. You know, like we're here and it's really beautiful. I have some beautiful books also that are just, I could send you a link to, you know, but it's really a practice. It's a practice on finding that within, and it's really going within. And it's not just saying, oh, I'm going to get this shirt, or I'm going to go be with my friends, we're going to do this, that's going to make me happy. What's that? And that's a learning, that's a lifelong learning. And to be able to do that as a family is a beautiful gift, you know? I hope that answers your question.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's about that. I think I've heard it in the past as reframing what you're currently looking at. Because we can look at the glass half empty or the glass half full. there's always something to be appreciative and to be thankful for. And there's always something to complain about and difficult. And what are we focusing on? And yes, we can't just throw stuff out and say it's never happened to us. No, there's hurt and there's just yuck in this world. And we all go through it. But it's moving beyond that, like you were talking about. And yeah, it's different for each of us. And yeah, like you were talking about before, I really want to reiterate this is the sleeping, the eating, the health, overall health of us physically can affect us so mentally. And we forget that. And just having connections, talking to other people, though, that communication that we talked about earlier, when we can't communicate, we're made to communicate. And when that is severed, when we don't have that, that internalizes a lot of things that we just should be getting out. And music can be one of those ways to get it out, or, you know, other artistic, if you got a child maybe that's nonverbal and does art, or like you were talking about earlier, dancing, all of these things can be forms of self-expression that move into that joyfulness, that thankfulness, those places where it is that glass half full versus the glass half empty.
And that's so just being is really, and being okay, like just not having to do. And that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of, it's really a lot of teachings, about that and just letting go and that's, I think that might be even like a lifelong, like a very, very special practice. You're going to take that with you for the rest of your life. And, you know, I know we talked about, you know, like we're having, like in my own situation, we're dealing with depression here. We're dealing with, you know, a lot of challenges too. And in addition to what's going on, you know, after COVID and all these things, but I think the deep connection with something bigger within ourselves and, making it about the relationship and really fostering love and acceptance, that's going to bring strength to bring us through it. And I think so many teachings about it, but, like starting things right, like well done, then well begun, like starting things like from scratch, being very mindful in what we do, that, and very clear, because that sets a foundation of things getting all over the place. Like we want to be very, and simplifying it in that way, having good communication, honesty is huge, you know, even if I like, I don't think they're going to like it very much.
Right.
Yeah. That's so freeing because then it's really coming from the right place and dealing with those difficult feelings. Just I'll bring it back to putting ourselves in the shoes of the other person, you know, like that connection comes first.
Yeah. It really does. And yes, I mean, you're going through it. I'm going through it with one of my kids again. And it's just a tough spot. And the world is so hard. And yes, it's being willing to listen and not judge. I think you talked about that at the beginning, you know, just being willing to hear what needs to be said or what needs to be communicated and have that open table available for that. We don't often do that. We come with our preconceptions, our ideas on how we can fix something. And sometimes they just have to be gone through versus fixed.
The last thing that I want to share is currently one of the practices that I have, is I'll share a little bit about like something the I'm inspired by like the eight limbs of yoga. You know, I'm not sure if the listeners are very much into yoga and all that stuff, but there are certain aspects of it, you know, that talk about how we treat ourselves, how we treat others, breathing. And it's very integrative. And it's something I find really helpful to be mindful and present in what we do. And that helps me to have a better standard and filter things out as part of this, the practice to just be like present. And that peace is really, that comes from being present in what we do. And that's something to be practiced, you know, proactive in mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. That breathing thing. When I was diagnosed with cancer a couple of years ago, that deep breathing thing came back because guess what? When you don't do deep breathing, you can develop cancer. I found that out because your cancer cells are oxygen deprived and they actually do better in an environment that has less oxygen. So do that deep breathing for your own health, mom. And make that a practice for your kids to follow. But, so many different ways that our body works to, you know, it's free. You just have to take the time to do it.
That's right.
So we had, our Kim on Facebook said, love your show. Good reminders for me and my mental health and my sons with autism, OCD, depression symptoms, sleep and nutrition, such tough areas for those who struggle with mental health. Yes, I know. I've been, dealing with the same thing. We've been just sitting at the dinner table for an hour trying to get food into a child. I know personally what you're going through. But yes, training them to take care of themselves. Thank you. Yes, it is a good topic. And then, yeah, we just sit through the hard moments and know it will pass. Yes, they will. They will. We just have to be there. So Jennifer, thank you for sharing so much. I'd love for you to share your website. And I know you have talked to parent or shared with us earlier that, that you, want to make yourself available to help parents if their kids want to write music and they don't feel like I can do this. So share a little bit about your website and how our viewers can connect with you.
Sure. So this is my website down here. I'll share a little bit about myself. And if you're interested, like I'm a songwriter. I really enjoy doing this. And I also connect a lot well with children who have a hard time with doing that. So I would love to be a resource for you because it's so important. It's something that I personally love and I would love to contribute to you and also to empower them, you know? That's something you can check out. I also have some resources. I'm going to continue to build on it. And I have a blog page that I would love if you could join and then we could just keep in touch because the more support that we have with each other, I think that there's strength in numbers, strength in power. And I also have some songs that I've already released that are about empowering and those things also can be available if anyone's interested. Mm-hmm. I'd love to share. And I've written songs and music groups, you know, so how do we connect people through the art? There's so many resources also online that we can even look into. If I'm like a little nervous about it, we can go into that and say, hey, you know, but it is possible, and it's something to support. So that's available. And yogavanimission.com, that's where I get a lot of my inspiration as well on the yoga teachings. And actually, Yoga Vani Mission is nada of sound. It's basically this yoga of sound. So we're all sound bodies, you know, so it's about tuning ourselves first. And I always like to have that view. And it's a practice. It really isn't being patient through it and appreciating it, you know, because we're here for just a finite time and we all learning lessons together.
Yeah. And if you're listening to the podcast and you can't see the website, it's called dancingroserecords.com. And that's where you can connect with Jennifer. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for everything you shared. I really appreciate it. This is definitely a conversation we needed to have. And I was glad that you were able to share some wisdom with us and some reminders. Because I think we have heard maybe a lot of this before as parents, but we don't often connect it with mental health and helping our children in the long run to think on what is good instead of just doing what's good. Because the thinking part affects a whole lot more than we really process that it's going to affect in our children's lives as they grow up and enter those really difficult years and have to start learning to navigate on their own. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. And definitely check out Jennifer's website, dancingroserecords.com. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you all. This broadcast was sponsored by viewers like you. To make a tax-deductible donation to SPED Homeschool, you can visit our website at spedhomeschool.com. On there, you can find all of our resources, links to our YouTube channel, our podcast, the amazing blogs, and of course, all of our awesome partners. So we have partners that offer therapy services, consulting, curriculums, you name it. They've all been vetted by our team. So you can reach out to them with confidence that they are there to support you in your homeschooling efforts. So next week, we're going to continue this topic of mental health, and we're going to talk to a psychologist who specializes in dealing with teens with anxiety. And so we're going to focus a lot on anxiety. We're going to talk a little bit about depression because the two are very linked. So I hope you can join me again next week for that topic as well. And so thanks for joining us. Thanks again, Jennifer. Appreciate everything you had to share with us. And I'll see you all back same time, same place next week here. Until then, God bless everyone. Bye.
A powerful prayer life does not require hiking a mountain to be able to hear from God. God can meet us right in the middle of our busy lives to help, guide, and speak to us through prayer. I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical teaching and encouragement on how you can make prayer a natural and consistent part of your everyday life. I promise it won't require hiking a mountain, but you just might develop the faith to move one. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.